Welcome to the Wide for the Win podcast. Our goal at Wide for the Win is to help authors grow publishing success across multiple platforms and formats through education, training, support, and community. If you're interested in reaching readers around the world, diversifying your income as an author, and exploring the freedom of living a truly indie author life, you've come to the right place. Hello, and welcome to the Wide Stream for Wide for the Win. I am Mark, and I've got Aaron right here. Hey, Aaron, how's it going?
Hello, hello. Welcome to my office.
Yay! And love being in your office. Love getting into that mind. And what we're going to do for today's episode is we're going to focus on something that you have long shared, but it's so important, and it's worth repeating for those who've seen it before, but it's also fantastic for somebody who's not sure how to go wide. It's 10 tips for going wide by Aaron Wright.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I wanted to scream that like, you know, Kermit the Frog, but you know. Yeah. All right. So without further ado, let's get into the tips. So I'm gonna pitch the tips that you created to you and get you to talk a little bit about each one. You ready to go?
I'm ready to go. Let's do this thing.
Okay. Tip number one, stop jumping in and out of Kindle Unlimited.
Yes. I started with the most important one first. So if you stop paying attention after this, at least you have this one in your brain. For many reasons, moving your book from Wide to KU and back to Wide, that can really screw up the algorithms. It really plays into the algorithms on Amazon, because Amazon sees you as being newly in KU, and ooh, isn't that exciting? But it can really, really hurt you on the Wide platforms. And so the more you do it, the more your books will do better and better, on Amazon, and worse on the Wide platforms. And you don't necessarily understand why. It's because the Wide platforms really reward history and longevity. They don't like it when you move on and off their platforms. And so it hurts your sales on the Wide platforms. And every time you leave, when you come back, it's as if you have never been on the Wide platform before and you have to start all over again. And it was hard enough to build up the audience in those sales on the Wide platform to begin with. Maybe starting all over again is not so much fun. Let's not do that.
Awesome. Well, thank you. All right. That was fantastic. And you have a friend with you too, to help you out with this.
Yes. Yes. He heard me discussing, and he wanted to have his own thoughts. So he's here to share.
Of course. Excellent. So we're going to hit number two. Number two is stop giving away Amazon gift cards or Kindle e-readers. So let's talk about that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I have seen Wide authors do is go to a Wide platform, say Barnes & Noble or Apple, and say, you know, help me promote this book. I have this promotion I really want your help with. And then turn around and go to Facebook and post, hey, I have a $500 gift card for Amazon. Post below to, you know, be entered to win. And it's like, the Wide platforms, if you don't think that they're on social media and watching what you're doing, you're deluding yourself. They totally notice that. And so what I typically do is, when I'm doing a gift card giveaway, is I will give away, I will offer to the winner their choice of which platform they want to win the gift card for. So I always tell them they have the choice between Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google Play, Apple, and Kobo. And so I offer the same amount, whatever it is. And then I just say, you know, for the e-reader or the platform of your choice. And then that way, are you going to get more Amazon readers or people picking the Amazon gift card? Yes, you are. But you are being inclusive in terms of including people who read on other platforms. As for e-readers, I feel like there are enough Kindle e-readers in the world. I don't need to be adding to that. So I literally don't give away Kindle e-readers, period. I will buy when they go on sale, I will buy a Nook, or I will buy a Kobo e-reader. Sometimes they have and like an Android tablet, that sort of thing. Those I will buy and then keep in my back pocket. And then when I'm ready to do a giveaway, then I will offer up one of those. But I don't actually give away Kindle e-readers at all. That's just me being me.
Of course, cool. Okay, so in terms of purchasing things, etc., number three is stop advertising in paid newsletters that only include Amazon links.
Yes. So I do have an exception for this, and that is if it's a really small one and it's like $5 or it's free. All right, fine. If you only do Amazon links, I'll use you. But anything that costs more than that, I will not pay unless they accept at least two different links. Amazon and maybe a Books to Read link as a second link, or my website as a second link. Sometimes they allow that. Sometimes it's like, we'll do Amazon and Apple. Say, all right, fine, I'll do that. But I don't do just Amazon, because again, I want to build my readers across all the platforms. And so I'm not asking for people to look at I'm not asking people to de-emphasize Amazon. What I'm saying is that you should emphasize the other platforms as much as you emphasize Amazon.
Cool, that's fantastic. And that leads directly into number four. Stop linking to only Amazon.
Yes. My child has decided that his thoughts now include biting, so he's going to go.
Well,
All
he just
right.
got so upset at the thought of just linking to Amazon that he's a white cat. He's on board with this.
Yeah, absolutely. That's totally what was going on with my child. One of the things that I see people do is put in to newsletters or onto social media, even at book sales, in-person selling. They'll be like, "Oh, here's my Amazon link." They're wide, but they're only putting their Amazon link out there because they think that's the only one that people are really going to care about. That is a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? If everybody only shares Amazon links, then that's the only one anybody's ever going to care about. So if you just get into the mindset, the habit of always sharing a link that is good for all platforms. So a really good way of doing that is either linking them to your website, if your website has all of that on it, and if it doesn't, then that's something you should be fixing. And or using a UBL, like Draft, or not Draft to Digital, Books to Read, which is owned by Draft to Digital, Genius Links, one of those kinds of linking platforms out there. They will allow you to link to all the various platforms with one link. And so get in the habit of using that link rather than an Amazon link.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. So for number five, it is stop buying your books slash ebooks on Amazon. Why is that?
I break some people's brains with this one. I usually, like, when I'm talking to people, they're like, "Okay, yeah, I got this." And then I get to this one and they're like, "Hold on, what? You want me to stop using Amazon?" It's been years now that I made the decision that I was not going to buy any ebooks or any audiobooks. So yes, not Audible. From Amazon. I would only buy them if they were available on another platform. And I feel like this probably should have been like number 10 in terms of like difficulty, because getting some people to wrap their minds around this this is pretty difficult. But one of the reasons why I suggest it is because if you are using another platform yourself, you get to understand that platform better. If you are always using Amazon, then you understand Amazon at a very intuitive level because it's the platform that you are used, you are comfortable with it, it makes sense to your brain. If you are using one of the wide platforms, then over time you're like, you will have that same innate comfort that comes from that familiarity. And so I used to buy all of my ebooks from Amazon. I absolutely did. And I made the switch and I started buying my ebooks. I primarily buy from Kobo. Although I have bought from Google Play and Barnes and Noble, and Apple. And I've also bought direct off people's websites. So I am, and then in terms of audio, I use Kobo, I use Libro FM, I use Chirp, I use my library, Libby, all sorts of options out there. So if a book is exclusive to Amazon or is exclusive to Audible, an audiobook, I almost guaranteed haven't read it or listened to it.
What I love about that one in particular is the side effect. The side effect is really important for your research as an author. If you have shopped on Apple or Google or Kobo or Nook, you understand the reader slash buyer experience way more intimately. You understand how they merchandise, you understand how it works. And therefore, when you're marketing, you can incorporate that understanding.
Yep, absolutely. I find it fascinating because people will spend days out of their lives just focusing on learning how to sell on Amazon. There's whole courses just on selling on Amazon. And then in terms of selling on the web platforms, they're like, well, I published there. And then they don't understand why they're not selling as well on the web platforms as they do on Amazon. And
Yeah,
it's
exactly. I wonder why. Ah, because you didn't pay attention to five, which is potentially the one of the hardest ones. All right, moving on. Moving on to number six. Stop cross promoting with other authors who are exclusive to Amazon, Kindle Unlimited exclusive, KU exclusive.
Oh, yes. And this is hard is when you are good friends with someone who is exclusive, right? And they're like, I have a new book that's out and I would love to promote your new book and let's do the cross promotion. And I'm not saying to, tell your bestie to go jump off a cliff or something. There could be exceptions here and there, but for close friends. But if you are looking to grow your career as a white author as a whole, you absolutely should be focused on cross promoting with other wide authors. And the reason for that is because honestly, you are otherwise not doing, you're really not doing anybody any favors. You may think that you are by cross promoting with the KU author, but at the end, you're not, because you will manage to just piss everybody off. And what I mean by that is your readers, you've got some wide readers in amongst, because you're wide yourself, right? And now you're cross promoting with the KU author. And that author only has Amazon links. So now you're sending an Amazon link to your wide reader, and you're basically telling your wide reader, you don't really matter that much, right? Like, I know you don't read on this platform, but I'm going to send it to you anyway. So you're telling your wide readers they don't matter. And then in terms of the KU author's readers, you are going to be promoted in their newsletter and you are not in KU. And so they've got all these KU readers. And they open up this email and they're excited about reading this book, and it is not available to them how they consume books. And so they're not happy. So really, nobody's happy. Stop doing the
We want Raiders happy. We definitely want Raiders happy. Okay.
Absolutely.
Number seven on the list is stop targeting Kindle Unlimited authors in your ads.
Yes, so this actually I have I wrote this list many moons ago. And very recently, within the last month, I have a very good friend of mine who has tried doing this, and has actually had fairly good success. I found this fascinating, targeting KU readers. So say, for example, through BookBub, targeting excuse me, KU authors. You choose the KU author, but say that you only want to target readers who read on the wide platforms. And
That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. Because on the wide platform, they are reading on that platform. Okay,
they're
gotcha.
reading on that platform. And so what may have happened is the KU author used to be wide, or the wide reader found this KU author and is hoping at some point that they will go wide, right?
Or can't get those books. I've heard great things about this author, but I can't buy them because I only shop on Kobo, for example, and they're not there. So
Exactly.
there's a reader who needs something.
Yes. Yep. And the real trick to this is to do cost per click. This is not one where you want to do the impressions, because the click rate isn't going to be as high, but the conversion rate, they're discovering is a little bit higher than normal, because when you find that reader, they're excited because. Anyway, so it's kind of one of those interesting things. So do a cost per
Yeah.
click, and try it out. But otherwise, yeah, you're not going to want to target KU authors for the most part.
Well, I'm going to propose that we officially change number seven from stop targeting Kindle Unlimited in your ad to stop blindly targeting Kindle Unlimited authors in your ads. There we go. Because you're doing it with a very specific strategy in mind.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Awesome. See, we can adapt, we can evolve. That's what being a wide author is all about.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Number eight is stop spending money on AMS ads.
Yes. And so AMS ads, Amazon ads, right? You are going to struggle making AMS ads work as a wide author, unless you are preternaturally inclined towards AMS ads and really understanding them. Even people who are really good at them struggle when they are trying to work with a wide author. And so I have found that most wide authors are, and when I say most, I mean 99.9% of the wide authors out there are much better served by doing either Facebook ads or doing BookBub ads. If you're going to do cost per click ads, those are the two platforms to really focus on. AMS ads are just really difficult to make a positive ROI when you are wide. The one exception to that can be, of course, with print. So if you are wanting to use AMS ads to push your print books,
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, of course.
yeah.
All right, cool. Awesome. All right. Okay, we're moving on to number nine. Stop having an ARC team or a street team, ARC being advanced reader copies, that only leave reviews on Amazon.
Yes. The whole point of reviews is social proof, right? The human brain is evolutionarily inclined to really favor something that has a review on it versus even no reviews at all. a little bit worse review is better than no review. And so a lot of authors, wide authors even, have focused so much on getting their review count up on Amazon because they think that that's, again, the only platform that matters. Readers on wide platforms are also human. These are the kinds of insights that you come to this show for. And they also appreciate social proof. And so they want to see that there is somebody out there has read this book. So what I do with my ARC team is I tell them that they have to review on two different storefronts, not two different sites, because if you say two different sites, they're going to choose Amazon and Goodreads. Spoiler alert,
Fair enough.
Amazon owns Goodreads. That is not helping.
And Goodreads reviews do actually link to, depending on the geo territory, are actually visible via, or at least counted on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. So, I require that if you're going to be on my ARC team, you have to review on two different stores. The difference between Amazon and the wide platforms, Amazon, you have to spend $50 a year in order to be able to review on their platform. And they have like these requirements in place, and they also don't count reviews as highly if the person didn't purchase the book through that platform, right? So they have verified purchases. That's neither of those are true on the wide platforms. All the wide platforms allow you to have a free account, no purchases necessary, in order to have a review, or in order to have an account on the wide platforms that allows you to write reviews. And they don't internally, algorithmically, benefit the verified purchases versus not. They look at all the reviews equally as being equally valid. So basically, your reader can set up a wide can set up a review account, which is just a regular account, on any of the wide platforms without having to spend a penny to do it. It's free. It's easy. And the reason why, not only am I looking for social proof on the wide platforms to help out there, but if a reader is going to ever switch away from using Amazon themselves, and they've already set up an account on Kobo to do a review for their author who they really love, which platform do you think they're going to switch to?
They might have an easy time switching to Kobo. They have an account already. Yeah. And even a
Exactly.
history of reviews.
Yes. And they're more comfortable with it, right?
The
Because
familiarity. Yeah.
they're having to go in and write those reviews. And so they're using that platform. Just like what I was saying, you should use other platforms. You're now causing your readers to use other platforms. I've had people who hear this advice and really freak out because they're like, "Oh my God, I can't get 100 reviews on a wide platform. Like, I don't know how I'm going to do that." You're not going to do that, right? On Amazon, reviews are so plentiful that individually they're not really worth a whole bunch, right? Because it's supply and demand. There's not a lot of them. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them, and so they're. Each one of them is like, okay, yeah, I got another review. We on the wide platforms, because there aren't as many reviewers out there who are used to doing this, and because most authors don't require this out of their ARC team, if you have a book that has 50 reviews on it, it's like, whoa, that book has a 50 reviews on it. That's awesome, right? That's amazing. Whereas on Amazon, it's like, oh gosh, I really need to step up my game. I only had 50 reviews. So a couple, literally five reviews on a wide platform. Fan-freaking-tastic. One review on a wide platform. Awesome, right? Just they are worth their weight in gold. Because they are so much more rare.
For sure. And if I can speak for one of the wide platforms that I used to work at, and this was a study done by the big data team at Kobo, and they had released this study publicly, is that A book, let's say there's two books, one beside each other, and everything's pretty much equal. They're the same price, they're in the same genre, the covers are beautiful. All the things fit. The only difference is one of them has no reviews, and the other one has a one-star review, a single one-star review. The single one-star review is twice as likely to sell as the book with no reviews. So the weight, even of a bad review, is social proof that someone read it, and I call this the pineapple on pizza principle, which means, okay, the review said, oh, this was about second chance lovers, and I don't like second chance lovers, so this book sucks. Whereas someone else comes along and reads it and goes, oh my God, I love books about second chance. Woohoo, I'm in, right? Or whatever the case may be, right? Or for whatever reason, the fact that somebody read it and had a reaction to it is more important than the fact that nobody seemed to have read it.
Yes, exactly. So, yeah, I like the pineapple on pizza. All right, I'm gonna
Right.
remember that.
All right. So, number 10, big number 10. Okay, stop, please, for the love of all that's holy, please stop learning skills and strategies and tactics and tricks from authors who are KU exclusive. No emphasis placed on that number 10.
None at all. I this is one that it hurts my soul when I'm working with the wide author, and I find out that they have spent thousands of dollars to take classes and courses and do all of this stuff to learn from someone who is exclusive into Amazon. Exclusive on Amazon, and they think, well, but they have all this knowledge. I'm going to be able to ignore the stuff that is KU centric, and only apply the stuff that really works for a wine author. Here's the problem with that. There's so many problems with that, but one of the things is that if you're learning, how do you know what is KU centric and what isn't? And I go back to my comment about hopping in and out of KU. With the Amazon algorithms, they really reward newness, right? Whatever your ranking is for a book, when you first release it out of the gate, that's the highest ranking that that book is probably going to have on Amazon, unless you get a BookBub or you spend a stupid amount of, money on Facebook ads or AMS ads or something like that. But typically, whatever it is the first week that it comes out of the gate, that's the highest ranking that book is going to have. And then it starts to drop after that. The wide platforms actually take time. They're the other way. They start out down here. And the longer that your book is out there, the more that the wide platforms start to figure out who your reader is. And they start figuring out who they should be showing the book to. And they take that time to understand where a book should show up in terms of search results and which carousels books should show up into, though which also bots, which a lot of authors think that an also bot is something that is only showing up on Amazon as an Amazon only thing. All the platforms have it was also bought by, this person. You may also want to buy it, right?
And you may
It's
even see that if you've actually shopped on the other platforms.
yes. So, but the all of those things are figured in with history and longevity in mind. So the longer that you are on wide platforms, the more that they get to know about your books and the more that they can show it to the right reader. And so the exact opposite of Amazon, the wide platforms reward history and longevity. Algorithmically, they reward that. At a KU offer, at a fundamental level, is not going to understand that, along with a million other things, where it is almost harder in some ways to get someone to go from KU to wide than it is to just have them start out wide and teach them everything that they need to know about being an indie author from the ground up, because they have to unlearn all of their bad habits. And they're only bad habits if you're a wide author, right? They're great habits if you're an Amazon KU exclusive author, but if you're a wide author, they're terrible habits. There's at such a fundamental level, Amazon is so different from the wide platforms that learning the two, I equate it to going to school at a vegan cooking school and then being hired at a steakhouse. Like, yeah, you learned how to cook. Congratulations. This isn't going to go well, though. They're just
Fair enough.
very different things.
Oh, for sure. Awesome.
Anyway.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome. So, 10 great tips. But one of the things I just want to remind people, if you were paying strict attention, this was not an Amazon bashing exercise. This was not about not including Amazon in your sales. Amazon is a part of your sales strategy. It was stop excluding all the other options. Stop focusing only in on a single retailer. And that's an important aspect because some people hear this and only hear, oh, Aaron said bad things about Kindle Unlimited. No, Aaron said good things about how to sell wide.
Yes, exactly. I am not anti-Amazon. I am anti-exclusivity.
Exactly.
And that's true for all platforms. Every once in a while, a wide platform will really step in it and do something stupid. And when that happens, because they make mistakes just like Amazon makes mistakes, I always say to authors, and aren't you glad you're not exclusive to this wide platform?
Exactly. And so for speaking back to the last tip, right? That stop learning from authors or a Kindle Unlimited exclusive. Oh my God, if only there were a place on the internet, if only there was a website, wideforthewin.com, or Facebook group or Circle group where you could go and learn from wide authors.
If only, if
If
only.
only.
You know what? If I was put in charge of something like that, I'd call it like wide for the win, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Yes.
Awesome.
I probably would do something just like that,
Yeah, so
actually.
for anyone who's just maybe listening to this in the audio feed and don't even know what Wide for the Win is, hopefully these 10 amazing steps helped you understand. And of course, listen to the end credits, the end bumper. You'll know where to go, where to find awesome people like our esteemed leader, Aaron, the rest of the board, and so many thousands and thousands of amazing authors who share their expertise with each other just because they want to help each other out.
Yep. Yes, we have a great community on Wide for the Win. So
Awesome.
we've been
Well,
really
Aaron,
lucky.
thanks for hanging out with me today. Appreciate that.
Yep, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. Bye, you guys.
Bye. You've been listening to the Wide for the Win podcast. For links to our Facebook and Circle groups and other helpful Wide publishing resources, go to wideforthewin.com. The music for this podcast, Sax and Rock and Roll, was written and performed by Kevin MacLeod and was licensed at incompetech.com.